Wrestle Buddies, GameSpot's wrestling podcast with wrestling friendship and wrestling with friendship. I am your host, Matt Elfring. We have just watched the Royal Rumble. However, Chris Hayner is not here to discuss it. He got slammed through a table that was on fire by Roman Reigns, as you guys saw in the Rumble. Chris was there. Joining me instead, he was going to be joining me the entire time. Who am I kidding? Ladies and gentlemen, GameSpot writer. Writer for the WWE comic, Lan Pitts. Lan, hi.
Matt, now that I'm actually on Wrestle Buddies, I feel like I'm finally one of your friends.
Everybody is my friend because everything I do is for attention and friendship.
Great. Great. Well, I'm glad this solidifies us as friends and coworkers.
Yes.
And maybe acquaintances.
I don't know if we can be all those because I'm technically your boss. Oh no. You were always in like the lexicon of like my convention friends, I'd say for quite a while, because we both like worked at comic book conventions all the time.
All the time.
Well,
since the start of comic conventions, we have always been there.
Since 1975, Lan and I were just at San Diego Comic-Con, which was held in a hotel ballroom.
Oh, man, going through dollar bin boxes and buying Amazing Spider-Man number one for $20. It's good times.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Those are all worth so much money now. All of my X-Men number ones with the Jim Lee covers are all worth...
Skyrocket.
They are worth billions.
How many Lambos you got now because you sold your comic collection?
Oh, so many. Move over, GameStop stock. I've got X-Men number one. We are just going to recap what happened at the Royal Rumble, which is the best pay-per-view of the year. Landon, all started with a one-hour kickoff show instead of 2 hours. How are you feeling about not having to sit around for 2 hours?
Like, having actually been to WrestleMania, going in 2018, and dealing with like a 7-hour show, I feel like any sort of condensing or lessening.
Mm-hmm. Chris and I went together in 2019, and we were in the little press box. The only way I could have survived 2019, which I believe was the longest WrestleMania ever, was because of the free coffee and cookies that they gave the press.
We're like handling concessions like they do at NXT shows. I remember like going to like an NXT show and like EC3 is like working with popcorn.
Wait a minute. Are you Chris Hero? No, I'm Cassius Ohno. And also, would you like some Jolly Ranchers?
So yeah, we have DIY shirts. They're on clearance. Would you like one? I'm good, buddy.
Maybe. Like, how clearancy are they?
They're like they were $10 instead of $20.
Oh, that's one of those BOGO deals.
Yeah. A little bit of a BOGO. So
the night kicked off on the kickoff show after about 40 minutes of just talking about what's going to happen 3 hours from now. It was Charlotte Flair and Asuka, the champions of the women's tag team champ. Remember the women's tag team championship? That was a thing that still exists. They faced Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, with Baszler and Jax getting the win. Lan, what did you think of this match?
So I was in and out actually watching it because I was cooking Rumble snacks. I didn't catch a lot of it, but I caught a little bit of it. Here's the deal. Eventually we're going to have Asuka and Becky again, I feel like, at some point. But the women's tag team division, it started off really strong because you had like ideas tag teams. Now they slowly have kind of devolved into the men's tag team.
Like, here's two people, just put them together.
It's just two people, you know, put together. And like, I get it. I get the idea of like, you know, we have Charlotte and Asuka, kind of like modern day super mega powers. I almost said superpowers collection. That's not the right nomenclature. We have like, you know, modern day mega powers, and that's cool. That's great. But we don't need, you know, we need actually like women tag teams. And I feel like if you develop them like in NXT, I think that's a good deal. But it was a fine match. It's a strong enough kickoff. It wasn't at least, you know, such a a random match that was kind of just advertised 15 minutes on Twitter.
Like, it's like, here's Buddy Murphy versus Drew Gulak. I was like, oh, that's going to be a good match, but why?
Why? It doesn't help either of those guys. And I felt like this match didn't really help any of the superstars because their story was going to be told later in the Rumble anyway, which it was.
Yeah. I think Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler are growing on me as a tag team. I love Baszler. She super scares me. That's kind of what I love about her. But this match so quickly devolved into like, Charlotte has a problem with Lacey Evans, who is totally hooking up with Ric Flair. Like, I don't care about that. And so much of that, the finish for this match revolved around Ric Flair giving Lacey Evans brass knuckles to hit Charlotte Flair so Nia Jax could leg drop her and get the win. It's just, Shayna, Charlotte, and Asuka are some of the most talented wrestlers in the company. Let them do their thing. We don't need like I don't like a crappy finish for this building towards a storyline that I already don't like. But all in all, fun match leading up to that point. I really enjoyed, it's a solid kickoff. Yay.
Yeah. Like I said, it was a better kickoff than like just a randomized, like generated match.
Yes.
It was a strong start. And I mean, anytime, women get more TV time is always a plus.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's tough with something like Royal Rumble because there are two matches that are going to be an hour long, an hour long each. So it's tough. But luckily we move right to the main card with the shortest match of the night, coming in at 2 minutes and 32 seconds. And that was Drew McIntyre versus Goldberg for the WWE Championship. And I don't think I was alone thinking that Goldberg was going to win because that's what part-timers kind of do in this company.
We'll get to that later. But
that's a good one. That's a good one though.
Right. And given especially the fact that Goldberg has a really good streak of last minute, pay-per-views to start the year leading into WrestleMania. It's fine. If he had one, it would have been a really weird head scratcher. Like, so you're going to keep him off TV until Mania? You're going to keep him off to the next pay-per-view? Because Goldberg's not showing up on Raw every night, till then. So it wouldn't have made sense for him to, and I'm glad Drew got it. And yeah, you're right about how the actual match time was 2 minutes, but remember that the match didn't start for like 3 minutes.
There was a good like 2 minutes of opening and entrance and all this. There was a minute of them fighting on the outside. Then when the match started, 2 minutes and 32 seconds, it was just, it was like five moves of doom. It was just, Claymore, spear, Claymore, jackhammer, false finish.
And sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah. I don't know what I expect out of a Goldberg match, to be honest. I'm always going to disappoint myself.
I feel like this definitely helped Drew more than it hurt Goldberg.
Definitely. I mean, it cemented Drew as a real strong champion. And it's what he needs because he's the nicest human being in the world.
God, yeah.
That's a real conversation we had earlier this night. Drew McIntyre, nicest man in the world.
Nicest man in the world who has an okay theme now, but Broken Dreams is other one, A+.
This is insider info on Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Moving forward, we had the SmackDown Women's Championship match between Sasha Banks and Carmella with my personal favorite person in WWE right now, the sommelier, Reginald. Carmella's gimmick right now is like, I'm drunk on wine, but I'm very classy. And also, I'm so into that gimmick.
Right. It's sort of taking Lana's influencer gimmick to a whole new level.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like a realistic level, I feel like when Lana was doing it, it was a very, there was a little delusion within there. This almost pokes fun at it. And it just, I don't know, adding the sommelier, the guy from Cirque du Soleil as a dude who just helps her out and hangs out on the ringside. Like I really enjoyed that. the match itself was fine, back and forth. Again, this is cementing Sasha Banks as a real champion, keeping the title on her.
Yeah,
Carmella did a great job of what she had to do in the ring. Sasha, same.
Carmella's grown on me since, you know, for a couple of years now, and it's really weird to think back in NXT when she was part of that trio. For her to be the last person standing, I just never saw that. But now, how she's developed herself in the ring and out, and you know, she's developed character work, she's developed mic work, she made the pieces fit, but she didn't do it arbitrarily.
No, I mean, like, and you think about going back to NXT, like, Enzo and Big Cass were already established as a tag team at that point. And then one week it was just like, oh, our hairdresser's our friend, and now she comes out with us and wrestles. And she, all she was just a parrot of what that gimmick was, mainly of what Enzo was. And she really has grown into her own within the ring. She's fine. But I really like how she's really dived headfirst into this gimmick. And I love gimmicks. So that's kind of my thing. So I enjoyed what this was. It was fine. Then Bad Bunny performed. I know who Bad Bunny is now. And he danced around Booker T, who yelled, "Can you dig it, sucker?" at the end. That was it.
He looks so mad.
I understand with WWE, you want to, they've always done this since WrestleMania 1, incorporating pop culture, incorporating music. And there's going to be a point in our lives where we do not have our pulse on what's cool. I haven't been there like 20 years. I just don't get it, because you're incorporating Bad Bunny, who is, as WWE tells me, very famous, with Booker T, who Bad Bunny's audience wouldn't know who Booker T is. It's a very weird clashing of generations that did not sit great with me.
Right. It's one of the, but I mean, I get this now. At least it feels like, it reminds me when Nitro, because Ernest the Cat had that gimmick. He was basically James Brown.
And then they brought
James Brown into the fold. And I just remember being like a 15, God, I think I was like 16 at the time, just not giving a about James Brown on my TV. So, and then, you know, the same year they do Kiss. And again, like, I don't care about Kiss on my TV.
Oh boy. Oh, you're losing me, Lan. Like, James Brown's one of my favorite artists.
Well, that's fine. I mean, but it wasn't exact. We're getting back to the point of like having the pulse on like pop culture. It was sort of like, oh wow, who's available? James Brown and Kiss? Perfect. Sure.
Yeah. Then we moved on to the Women's Royal Rumble. First and foremost, Lan, what was the biggest surprise for you?
The biggest surprise in the Women's Rumble? Probably Tori Wilson showing up.
Yeah.
Because it's really weird when you look at her career and the fact she never held any championships. But she's in the 2019 Hall of Fame. 2019 class Hall of Fame. And that's fine. She did her purpose. She, you know, she did the Playboy cover. She did the Playboy spreads. And she was like a staple in the Ruthless Aggression era after her contract was bought from WCW. But name me a good Tori Wilson match. Name me a Tori Wilson match.
Probably Trish Stratus.
Probably, sure. So, I mean, that, you know, I understand she might have her fans. I just remember her dad dying from having sex on SmackDown.
Yeah. That was that's the era of WWE wrestling where women had storylines that are memorable, but matches not so much, because the emphasis was not on in-ring ability.
Not at all.
I just go Shotzi Blackheart coming to the Rumble on a tank. That's my favorite thing ever. I love her tank.
Love it. I'm glad Ember's back. Ember was a nice surprise. I love Ember's look. I love Ember's ability.
It was nice to see Mickie James back. I know she was technically retired, I know she got injured and then left WWE. I really like Mickie James. I feel like she did not get the her final match that she deserved, considering that she's a fantastic wrestler, helped kind of usher in the women's evolution.
Yeah, absolutely agreed.
And then Bianca Belair won, which I was super, super duper pumped about.
It was my call. Like they've been positioning Bianca just right.
and doing a documentary about her on the WWE Network, which was very good.
Yeah. Really cool to see her make it. She's got a great look. She's maybe stronger than the Hulk. We don't know yet, but she could probably suplex the moon if we gave her a chance.
Well, you know what? Maybe next week we can do that.
I think so.
This brings us to what I would call one of the most wild last man standing matches I can remember, which was Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens all over Tropicana Field. I was pretty sure at one point, like, is Kevin Owens trying to kill himself? He keeps jumping off high things.
That senton was phenomenal.
Yeah, almost as good as the golf cart moment.
Yes. straight up Mario Kart antics of just
getting run over by a golf cart.
Run by karting.
This overall I felt was a great match up until the point where there was this kind of botched handcuff moment where they couldn't get Roman Reigns unhandcuffed from a thing and they had to stop the ref count, but that's whatever.
Right, but how do you stop a ref count? I
just don't know. Do you just say, ref, look over there, or do you clap hard?
Well, it looked like, you know, and then he hit the ref and swung him to the door, but still just awkward. And then it makes you wonder, like, has Paul Heyman ever worked a pair of handcuffs before? Did they not rehearse this?
I don't think he's ever touched a pair of handcuffs.
So.
Good boy, Paul Heyman, apparently.
Good boy, Paul Heyman.
This is going to bring us to the men's Royal Rumble match. I forgot to mention that all team Wrestle Buddies had like numbers that I randomly chose from a random number generator that were our picks. I don't think any of us won anything. I had Hurricane Helms in the men's Royal Rumble, so he lasted 10 seconds. What did you like most about this men's Royal Rumble match?
I love that Edge and Christian had their moment.
Yeah.
I love Orton not becoming a three-time winner. I love my buddy Shane Helms getting a quick Rumble appearance. I love Christian. I love Edge. I love Big E getting his good solo push and just going bananas.
There's not anything really, like, there's not much to hate in this. Like, this is like
there the wasn't first... much to hate. There wasn't any weird spots that went to. There was no like weird Santino moment, like, oh man, or like there was no reason or. But yeah, I wish Samoa Joe had showed up. I was waiting for an announcer to show up into one of these, like him or Booker. Make an appearance, a surprise appearance. That would have been really great. But no, there wasn't a lot to hate about it. I was still rooting for Big E or Nakamura. I really thought D-Bry was going to come out on top. Just they've been pushing his story, been pushing like, okay, well, Royal Rumble still on your bingo card. That's fine. And I wish, like I said, I love Edge. I wish it did not go to a part-timer. Because I don't think Edge is going to have the Shawn Michaels second coming career where he is, you know, almost 50 and going for another, you know, 9 years in the company.
Yeah. It's weird to think that, like, even myself, like how hypocritical I am, where I'm constantly shouting about, like, these part-timers come in and get all these opportunities. But like the second Edge comes back, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. On this day. You're just like, yeah, done, man. Yeah.
Play some Metal Ingus by Ultra Bridge.
Please, thank you.
I guess that's when I think about other part-timers like Brock Lesnar or Goldberg, I guess it's because Edge just gave so much more to wrestling in general. And even when he was
1,000%.
Hurt. He was still doing WWE Network stuff. He's still very involved in wrestling in some aspect. And he's not, I don't know if it's a payday for him. It might be. It probably is too. But he does love wrestling. I think that's the difference between a Goldberg and a Brock Lesnar.
Well, you watch his retirement speech. You know, it's one of those things I introduce people to who are like, well, I don't care about wrestling. I'm like, well, have you ever seen a grown man cry about wrestling? Here's Adam Copeland's retirement speech. And you feel it.
Yeah.
You feel it. You feel everything the man has felt in his life in that moment.
To me, this was overall Royal Rumble, probably one of the better ones in the past few years. I feel like WWE finally, pay-per-view-wise, has the whole audience-less event down right before they go back to having audiences in April. But really fun one, just long, and we're all tired.
What's going to be interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see and feel, is they've been going without an audience for almost a year now. And because they pipe in the Thunderdome noses and Thunderdome, they tell mm-hmm. you on your screen to boo or applaud people.
Really?
Yes. So it's going to be interesting to see when they go back to live, because they've been in control of the narrative. They've been in control mm-hmm. of the character's narrative and who's a fan favorite, who's a heel, and all that stuff. When we go back to live, it's back to an unpredictable nature of the fans are going to tell you how they feel. You can't manufacture that.
Yeah, that's something we talked about last week with who we think is not going to get the same rub that the piped in noise is getting. Mm-hmm. I completely forgot who we talked about, because week to week, who remembers what happens last week anymore? Oh, Lan, if people want to find you on the internet, where do they find you?
On the internet.
Oh, great. Just the answer I was looking for.
Google me? I don't know. So my Twitter handle is pissed off. That's PITTSED_OFF. It's a fun pun name. I think it's punny. I've had it for 11 years. It better be. And Instagram, my name, Facebook. Don't find me on Facebook.
No, Facebook is don't find. You can find Wrestle Buddies on Facebook now, but don't find people on Facebook. It's such a personal place at this point. Just
don't find me on Facebook.
Don't find us on Facebook. What do you want to see pictures of my kid? No, you don't want to see pictures of him. I don't even post pictures of him on there anyway.
Right. But yeah, but if you want to come yell at me on Twitter, yeah, I'm almost about being yelled at on Twitter for my wrestling thoughts. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's totally fine.
Just yell at him on Twitter.
It's fine.
Talk to him about Danhausen, which I've been doing.
I'm glad you found room in your black heart for this evil character.
The thing about Danhausen, I know this is a Royal Rumble thing. I don't care. I've been like keeping an eye on this guy for, I think he came into my view like last year, maybe. It was like last week when I was like, this guy's got a website. Like, what's this website like?
So good.
As soon as I clicked on it, I was like, dude, this is my favorite wrestler of all time. Always in character, except for his pinned tweet, but always in character.
Right. I made him break character a couple weeks ago because he asked me, he texted me because he wants to start a Danhausen collection. Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, what are the chances of getting a commission by Todd McFarlane? And I said, very minimal, extremely minimal, but I will help you find artists. And so I sent him a couple of recommendations. But I felt bad about having to like crush his dreams. Mm-hmm. So I was interviewing Todd that week. I said, hey, Todd, do a favor for me. And it's like, yeah, what you need? He says, I want you to do a quick video, voice message for my friend Danhausen. He's like, what's a Danhausen? I was like, do you watch wrestling? He goes, no. I'm like, okay, well, but he's a wrestler. That's his name. That's his full name. That's just what he goes by, Todd. Don't think about it too much.
He's very nice, but very evil.
Very nice and very evil. So I told him, and basically, it's just a complex character, and it's so good. But he's like a late night horror show host of like the 80s and like 70s, like Sven Gulli. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, that's wild. I'm like, yeah, I know. And so he cuts a promo on Danhausen, and it's one of my favorite things. And so I message him and I was like, hey, I can't get you a sketch, but I have something for you. And I sent it to him. And then he texts back, holy S word, but he actually said the S word. And I was like, wow, I made Danhausen cuss. I win at life. So, and he's like, can I post this and thank him? I was like, yeah, sure. So, but yeah, that kind of made his day. And then Warhorse hit me up because we were talking about toys. I meet all my wrestlers, like all these wrestlers guys through like other means of like comics and toy collecting.
Yeah.
So that's how I met Danhausen, through Hasbro Legends and like collecting old McFarlane toys and DC stuff right now. And Simpsons. Oh God, we both love the Simpsons. We're such big Simpsons nerds. So go check out Danhausen stuff. This is a Danhausen podcast now.
There's only two ways to meet wrestlers, and that's through toy collecting or stand-up comedy in the Chicagoland area. Listen, if you want to be friends with Marty DeRosa from Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling, go back and do comedy 10 years ago out here.
You should. I love Marty and Sarah. They're great people.
I've never met Sarah, but I've known Marty for... oh God, 10 or 11 years. I haven't seen him in like 3 years now. Mm. But the last time we hung out was at another comedian's wedding.
Right.
And it's like biggest hug I've ever gotten. He's like, Elfring's here. I'm like, yeah, I guess I showed up. That's gonna end the show for this week. We will see you guys on Thursday with a brand new episode. Lan, thank you very much for coming on. And
thank you for having that. I'm okay. Sorry I kept on disappearing. I hope this is actually usable.
Oh, it's all usable. And I just want to say I'm very glad at WWE for putting on a great Royal Rumble and for also keeping the SmackDown hacker out of the Rumble. Appreciate you guys doing the Lord's work, doing Papa Shango's work. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Wrestle Buddies. We hope you had at least almost as much fun as we did. Go ahead and rate and review us on the Apple Podcast app. You can email us questions at WrestleBuddies@GameSpot.com or find us over on Twitter at WrestleBuddies. I am at Chris Hayner. He is at I'm Matt Elfring. See you next week.